Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com, coming to you guys here on a Tuesday, last day of November. It's hard to believe we are moving into the final home stretch of the 2021 NFL regular season. But as we're going to talk about today, a lot still to be sorted out across the entire NFL for the playoff picture, the AFC as a whole, and the AFC West. So it's been a total logjam all season. We're going to be talking really just kind of how the Chiefs sit right now in the playoff picture in the AFC, what the rest of the AFC West looks like right now, as the Chiefs were able to take a week off, sit back, watch all the other teams compete and cause more chaos. And then we'll kind of look at the playoff seedings and kind of maybe give some opinions on what I believe are the most dangerous teams, maybe for Kansas City come playoff time, which ones may be pretenders. So returning after the bye week, hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. But yeah, it's good to be back into game week after that time off. A big one this Sunday night against the Denver Broncos, a game originally scheduled for noon Central Time, but was flexed into Sunday night. So the Chiefs get a extra night game on the schedule here, which will be their second in the next 3 weeks. They'll have obviously a Thursday night game at the LA Chargers in week 15. So two of the next three will now be night games. Of course, the Chiefs will come off the bye, three straight division games, and they'll play each division rival once, with the Broncos at home this week, of course, followed by the Raiders. The Chiefs will host them, and then they will go, as we said, to LA to take on the Chargers. So overall, you look at the AFC West, I guess that's kind of where I will start in this episode today. The Chiefs did get some help in a way. Obviously, things got a little tighter with the Broncos win over the Chargers on Sunday in Denver. It was a game that I think the Chargers probably played their worst of the season. They've definitely not been clicking necessarily on all cylinders this last month or so compared to their first month, I would say, was much better. But there was just some things in this game that we're not used to seeing. Justin Herbert, usually, you know, very good at kind of anticipating throws that are going to be open. His timing is usually pretty impeccable. But those were two things that on Sunday in Denver just were not there at all. There was a lot of throws that could have been intercepted that were either dropped by Denver defenders or just, you know, kind of lucky grabs at the Chargers pass catchers. We're actually able to haul in and turn it into a positive game. On the other hand, with the Chargers defense, I mean, this is a group that really has been kind of been manhandled a lot the last month or so. You know, they did not give up a lot of points themselves since Denver had a pick six by rookie Patrick Surtain. But this was a game, again, it just seemed like the Chargers had really little to no resistance that they had to offer to the opposing offense. And it was a game in which that I think you just look at some of their top stars. I think they're really feeling the pressure right now of having to deliver big play after big play at the most crucial moments. Joey Bosa took a very difficult penalty late in this game when it was still kind of tight. Jerry Tillery's really struggled, I feel like, even more so than Bosa over this last little bit. And you look at the secondary right now, guys that, you know, were not necessarily household names for this team, but were always kind of a really good, sneaky kind of player that they could rely on. Guys like either Michael Davis at cornerback, or you look at the ways in which, you know, the depth players at safety behind Derwin James have been able to kind of help counteract opponents hitting on deep plays, whether that's Aloe Gilman, Nazir Adderley. They just have not really shown up as much this year. They haven't really been the guys that you can say, you know, if opposing quarterbacks are going to test them, they're going to come up with some opportunistic plays and help out the defense. It's just not been there for the Chargers. I still think personally they're the team that if the Chiefs were to lose any of their four divisional games left down the stretch, I think the game at LA is still the most likely they could lose, just because it is a short week. The Chargers have played the Chiefs really tough, even when the Chiefs have beat them in recent years. So I still think that it's very likely the Chiefs could lose that Thursday night game at LA. But I think the way the Chargers have played over the last month or so, the Chiefs have to be feeling a lot better. And obviously, they'll have a little extra determination knowing the Chargers already beat them at Arrowhead early in the season. So trying to avoid that sweep there is already going to be motivation enough. But it helps when the Chargers have been struggling as much as they have down the stretch here. Denver, on the other hand, in that game, I don't want to discredit them because they surely have been a team that is still, bringing a lot of fight, and I think they're a challenging unit. But there's just so many things, I think, when you look at how they match up with the Chiefs, especially this Sunday. We'll talk more about it as far as, you know, the actual matchups later in the week on our game preview podcast episode. But this is a team that historically just has not hit consistently on explosive plays down the field as an offense. I do like their running game a lot. I like Javonte Williams coming out of the draft. I think he was a top 30 player for me on my personal big board, and they traded up to get him early second round. This offensive line has quietly become a very improved unit that kind of went from a laughingstock a few years ago to some of the premium additions they've made recently are really starting to pan out. So I think you look at the Broncos. I don't think they're necessarily a team that's going to be easy to face, but I think you look at them down the stretch here. Their schedule includes, you know, games against the Bengals still as well. A lot of division games like the Chiefs have. So when you throw the Chiefs in there twice, the Bengals and a lot more other division games, I don't necessarily think the Broncos will be an easy out, but I think this is a team that just the way they're set up, not necessarily explosive offensively, a high variance of quarterback play. You look at the defense, I think it's obviously pretty impressive what they did against the Chargers, but I think a group that, very interesting to watch down the stretch here when, they're having to kind of come through at crucial spots in a playoff spot that's on the line. I think you look at Denver's defense and it's just losing some of those veterans, whether it's Von Miller or other names like Alexander Johnson in the middle to injury. There's just some things there that I think is some fool's gold right now for Denver's defense. So Denver's one of those teams to me. I still think they're challenging, but to me, they might be the weakest link personally in this division. It's kind of crazy to say that given what we've seen of the Raiders, not just this year, over the last few weeks. Yeah, they got a big win on Thanksgiving over Dallas, but this is a Raider team that I just don't think is any different than what we've seen the last few years. Obviously, have had to go through a lot of things off the field this year involving John Gruden, Henry Ruggs, Damon Arnett, but you look at the hot start they had and what we've seen the last few weeks, even before the win on Thanksgiving. I mean, it's just a carbon copy, it seems like, every season for this team. And I just think you look at the games that they still have down the stretch outside of the division. You know, they have the Colts left, which is really going to be, I think, a game that's going to be one of those ones for the Raiders that they just – do not have, the mental toughness or the physical toughness maybe to hang with that team. So we'll see if they prove me wrong in that game against the Colts. But this is a Raider team right now that I think when you look at them, kind of like the Broncos in my mind, I just think this is a team that's really more focused on 2022, what they're going to try to do to build beyond this point rather than maybe having all their focus across the board on fighting for a playoff spot. So around the AFC West, it's pretty crazy. All three of those teams behind the Chiefs at 6-5. The way the standings are right now, the Chargers are technically in second, the Broncos in third, and the Raiders in fourth in the West, just because of division record being the tiebreaker right now among those teams. The Chargers are 2-1 in the division. Broncos 1-1 in division games right now. Raiders are 1-2. So that's the only thing that's really separating these teams as of right now. But a lot of big games coming up. We know the Broncos played the Chiefs, as we said, in Week 13 on Sunday Night Football. The Chargers have a big one that will definitely had a lot of implications for possible playoff seeding as they go to Cincinnati to play a Bengals team that's won two in a row after their bye. They They swept a division rival team, in the Pittsburgh Steelers, that have just been a thorn in their side for so long, even during their stretches of good play during the early 2010s. So that's going to be one that's going to be fun to watch this week before Chiefs and Broncos happens. And then the Raiders will face a Washington team, non-conference matchup, but a game right now where Washington's coming in playing pretty good, probably their best stretch of the season. They beat the Seahawks last night, as I'm recording this on Monday Night Football. So Washington right now, they found themselves in the playoff picture, 5-6. They actually went from having the number 8 overall pick in the NFL draft early yesterday, and now are the last wild card team as the 7th seed in the NFC after winning that game last night. So it's crazy. They went down in the draft order 12 spots after that win, and that just goes to show how much parity there is this year. There's always parity every year in the NFL, but this year is even more crazy than usual, it seems like, and that's kind of what we're focusing on today in this episode. So outside of the AFC West, we're going to continue to look at that parity here at the rest of the AFC. And of course, a couple of weeks ago, I kind of wrote about, how the Chiefs, I thought, still stacked up against a crowded AFC, and thought that, you know, overall, they still have a chance to kind of continue their mission this season. And when we wrote that a couple weeks ago, everybody in the AFC North was over 500. Well, it's pretty much the same in the AFC North. The Steelers are at 500. 5-5-1, of course, have that tie with the Lions. The Browns also 500 right now at 6-6. And I think it's easy to see the way these standings are right now. I think that's exactly how things are kind of trending. I do think the Browns and Steelers are starting to run out of gas. Of course, the Chiefs still have to play Pittsburgh here coming up down the stretch, but I really, truly believe the Bengals could be the best team in this division. As crazy as that may sound, I still believe Lamar Jackson is still having a pretty good season, but obviously he's had a lot of games lately with turnovers, just mistakes that he's not really shown to make week after week. So there's a lot of question there. And you look at the Ravens, I don't want to say they're not a good football team, but there is a lot of luck involved, and I think there's a lot of luck for any team, whether you're on the good or bad side of it. But you really look back on their season this year. I mean, their run, their point differential plus 23. They've had a lot of victories at the end of games where it seems like the opponent had the game in hand and they just, you know, blew it away because of mistakes of shooting themselves in the foot rather than Baltimore really taking control. So again, I don't want to discredit Baltimore, but I think it's pretty funny that they actually have the number one seed right now at 8-3, because this is a team, if some games go a little bit differently at the end, this could be a 4-7 team right now. I mean, they needed a record-breaking field goal to beat the Lions, who haven't won a game this year. The Chiefs, you know, if it wasn't for two late turnovers, a horrible decision by Patrick Mahomes on a ball that was intercepted when he was starting to get sacked, and of course the Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble when it looked like the Chiefs were gonna have a chance to get a field goal there to win it. And you look at some other games, I mean, against the Bears, not a good football team. Against the Vikings, they found a way to win when they trailed most of that game. So I again don't want to discredit the Ravens, but they obviously have not proven yet that they can win more than one playoff game. So if they get the one seed, I really don't think most of the AFC contenders should really feel that scared. I truly believe the Bengals might be the best team in the North just because of their style of play. I think they can win in a variety of ways. Joe Burrow is a guy that his art of throwing the football is pretty advanced, given that his youth in the league is still pretty low. So the timing that he has, the anticipation, his understanding of angles and spacing, there's so much that Joe Burrow does that I don't think many people realize. And it helps, of course, when you have guys like Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, even C.J. Uzomah has turned into a pretty good tight end for the Bengals this season. And Joe Mixon, to me, is one of my favorite running backs to watch when I get the chance, just because not necessarily – in that top tier of running backs, but a guy that can overtake the game single-handedly if he needs to, wears down opponents, and is obviously just as capable of beating opponents in the passing game as he is in the rushing game. So overall, I think the Bengals defense, that's something that surprised people this year. I kind of believe in them. I think this is a group that they've done a good job with kind of bringing in guys for their defensive backfield that all play a kind of a similar physical style, don't give up a lot of plays behind them for the most part. And this pass rush and defensive line has really kind of turned the corner. Sam Hubbard's been kind of an underrated player to more of the casual audience for a few years. And you look at guys like, of course, a defensive tackle that that a lot of people, I think, forget about there in Cincinnati. And of course, there's guys that, you know, you look at this defense, I think there's a lot of guys that really have not even gotten the chance to really showcase their skills at the top stage. But, you know, now, of course, they're getting that. But the defensive tackle that I really like of this defense for the Bengals, of course, is DJ Reader. He's really having a pretty good season for them, a former Houston Texan. So guy that's been there, knows how to get it done in the playoffs. But, of course, the free agent contract that they gave Trey Hendrickson, that's been one of the probably more valuable deals so far if you look at it. So to me, I think the Bengals are the best team. It'll be fun to see how the Chiefs play the Bengals down the stretch here in a few weeks. And it's a game I don't want to say the Chiefs should feel I don't know how to say it. I don't think the Chiefs should feel like, you know, they're in danger against the Bengals, but I think this is a team that personally, if it gets to the playoffs and you're talking about who maybe presents the toughest matchup for the Chiefs right now, I think the Bengals may present one of the tougher ones, at least probably, I think, the second toughest test. The toughest test to me, I think, is the New England Patriots. The Patriots right now are winning in ways that we've seen over the years as far as, you know, a balanced offensive attack, running game that is deep. And they can wear you down quickly. Of course, the offensive line, I think, has had a kind of a resurgence. Guys like Isaiah Wynn are healthier this season. And you kind of look at what Damian Harris has become. He's a guy that can win, you know, in a variety of ways in the running game, whether it's in between the tackles, out in the open field. Kind of that guy that's really become a patient runner in space, but is still able to kind of make defenders miss. Ramondre Stevenson, after being a healthy scratch early in the year, has finally started to get rolling a little bit as well. And Mac Jones, I don't think it's necessarily a all-world rookie season, but he's doing a really good job, really probably been the best rookie quarterback so far. Now, there's a lot that goes into that. You know, he went into one of the better environments of any of the rookie quarterbacks that are playing consistently, but yeah, I think you look at the passing attack, it's pretty interesting to see that the pass catchers are starting to get it going as well. Kendrick Bourne right now is playing really good football. There's a lot of guys that I think you look at that in a game in the cold or in January in Foxborough, if teams have to go there, because I really think the Patriots have a good shot at getting the one seed right now if the Chiefs don't. The Patriots, I think, in those kind of colder games, they have a lot of guys that are going to be tough to tackle after the catch. Could lead to some big plays. And with Mac Jones' accuracy down the field, that's a difficult recipe for teams to stop. So I truly believe the Patriots are the best team, or the team that could provide the best threat to the Chiefs in the playoffs, especially if they have to go to Foxborough. Now, it's weird. The Patriots are undefeated on the road this season. So that is kind of weird. What do you kind of make of that? I don't know if there's really a lot to say other than they've probably played a tougher home schedule. I mean, the Bucs, the Cowboys, the Saints have all come into their building this year. But yeah, I truly believe they're the toughest test. Now, I do still think in the AFC East, the Buffalo Bills, yeah, they can provide a threat to the Chiefs. I just think this is a team that is really starting to bottom out. I think the Patriots can sweep them here coming up in the next few weeks. And I think this is a passing attack that Josh Allen, he's starting to make the mistakes he made before his all-world season last year. Not really reading the field, consistently at 100%. I think there's some confusion that he's had as far as, you know, where to go with the football on crucial downs, whether to test opponents deep or kind of take something underneath and let his receivers work in space. You know, it sucks to see Tre'Davious White go down, torn ACL in the Thanksgiving Thursday game last week for Buffalo. So that's a big blow for them as well. A team that hasn't really prioritized making a lot of premium investments at the cornerback position. So this is still a pretty good team, but I really, really feel like this is a team that, you know, they're kind of sinking in. You know, if you look at them as far as how they're built, I think the top heavy parts of this team, the stars, are really, really starting to feel the effects of this season. And they're kind of like, to me, a rock sinking in the water right now, just waiting to drop further and further. So I think it's going to be a tough awakening for them playing New England twice still this late in the season. They still have to go to Tampa Bay as well. So I just think the schedule combined with the attrition that they're going to be facing here soon, especially losing Tre'Davious White, I don't really see the Bills being necessarily the biggest threat to this team, even though what they did to Kansas City earlier in the year, there is still some things that I think matchup wise could definitely scare me against the Chiefs. You know, if the passing attack gets back to rolling, I mean, this is a group that can definitely test the Chiefs deeper down the field, I think, than other teams will for sure. But yeah, overall, I think the Bills are ready to start bottoming out soon. I think there's a lot of people that can see what I see, and that's when they match up with New England. I don't think it's going to be close, at least in one of the two games, because I think Bill Belichick's ready to kind of throw everything at him that he's kind of been maybe holding back for some games this year. So the AFC East, I wouldn't even rule out Miami having a shot still to make a run. It may be difficult to get in now that they already have 7 losses, but this is a team that's won 4 games in a row. They have a pretty light schedule down the stretch that includes the Giants, the Jets. They've been historically good at home against the Patriots, and that's kind of interesting because they've already won in New England this year. And you look at the Dolphins against teams like the Saints or the Titans, those are teams that are starting to trend down for the most part. So the Dolphins, I could still see even making a run. I don't know if they have a very big chance of making the playoffs, but it's a team that's still kind of showing that last year wasn't truly a fluke at this point in time. They've gotten some wins over some pretty vital opponents lately. And the AFC South, it's really interesting. The last division to kind of talk about here. I just think it's crazy to see in a league where mostly running backs don't have, you know, the number one kind of driving force on their team, how much Derrick Henry has truly affected the Tennessee Titans since he's gotten hurt with that broken foot, expected to miss the rest of the season. Everything's falling apart for the Titans. Ryan Tannehill, I don't think has totally all been his fault while Derrick Henry's been out, but this has become a stretch right now recently where we're starting to see the Miami Tannehill a little bit as far as just the aggressiveness being done as far as quick passing and being aggressive down the field. I think, you know, there's a lot to be desired with this defense, where even though they dominated the Chiefs the way they did at the time, this is a Titans defense that I think is kind of showing what we thought they were early in the season and predicting for stuff this season, where it's a defense that's old, it's slower. There's a lot of vulnerability on the back end and in the back 7. So the Titans defense right now, right, they're going to get a lot of tests down the stretch, I think, of something similar to what they've seen recently as far as teams testing them deep, but also using a balanced attack to kind of slow them down. They got Miami still. You know, they have a game against a really interesting 49ers team, which I don't know whether to believe in them or not, a non-conference game coming up. So the Titans are really interesting. I just think they're kind of like the Bills. They're starting to bottom out, but obviously for different reasons. Injuries starting to catch up with this team. What stinks is they're on the bye this week. So for the Chiefs, stake. You know, they're probably still going to be behind the Titans, even if they beat the Broncos Sunday night, because the Chiefs will have the head-to-head loss to Tennessee. So the Chiefs, I think, will still probably be the four seed, it looks like, if they even if they beat Denver Sunday night. But looking around the AFC, I truly think, you know, the Colts look like the best team in the South. The Bengals look like the best team in the North, and that may sound crazy to some people, but I think in this year, it's as crazy as it's been around the league. You're really starting to see some of these teams that are trying to separate themselves and playing consistently and dominant. Guys, you know, teams like New England and Cincinnati to me, or you see teams that are starting to bottom out, whether that's Buffalo, Cleveland pretty harshly, Pittsburgh pretty harshly, or Tennessee. So pretty wild, and I'm sure a lot of my opinions could change here just as quick, just because it's been that kind of season. But right now, I do think Patriots, Bengals, slightly the Bills, those are the teams that I think match up the toughest with the Chiefs in the playoffs as we speak right now. So it was a good week to have off to kind of watch more chaos unfold in the AFC. Wanted to kind of touch on the conference today, the rest of the AFC West standings as they are right now, and it'll be good to have a game week again this week. Chiefs Broncos coverage will be coming out Wednesday through Friday. We'll have the opponent overview article of the Broncos on Wednesday, key matchups piece for the game on Thursday, game preview article and game preview podcast episode will come out on Friday. A couple other additional article ideas that I have coming out. I kind of list certain reasons that I believe in that the Chiefs can maybe use to run the table down the home stretch and possibly get one of the top two seeds in the AFC, if not the top one, come playoff time. So I'll have that come out today, just as this podcast episode is dropping. You can go check that out, listing my reasons to believe in the Chiefs possibly running the table down the stretch. And of course, if you guys followed along last weekend, I had a prospect watch list article focusing on draft eligible prospects in college football. It was a great week of college football again last weekend, the final regular season week for the college football schedule. It'll be conference championship weekend this upcoming weekend, so I'll have another prospect watch list article coming out, I believe, on Friday. It may be Thursday, still kind of looking at the exact schedule for the week. So either Thursday or Friday, be on the lookout for that. I'll have more prospects that I cannot wait to watch listed for conference championship games on Friday and Saturday. Of course, follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Chiefs. Follow myself at @BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end. Follow Full Press NFL and at @FP_coverage on Twitter for more NFL news and notes, not just for the Chiefs, but for other news items around the league. Of course, if you guys joined us last Sunday, FPC NFL Sunday, myself, Ian Glendon, Ricky Keeler, we broke down all the games for last Sunday. We'll be doing that again, giving our thoughts on these tight playoff finishes and what teams we're believing in or not believing in down the stretch. So we'll be back Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. You guys can search those Twitter accounts, Full Press NFL, @FP_coverage, or follow Full Press Coverage on YouTube or Facebook. 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time, Sunday mornings. Myself, Ian, and Ricky will be on. It's a lot of fun. We enjoy all the interaction with all the audience, so it's a great time. We'd appreciate it if you guys would follow along with us. Again, stay tuned. Chiefs versus Broncos article and game coverage throughout this week. Like I said, new article dropped today on Tuesday, just as this podcast episode dropped. So go check that out as well. It'll be greatly appreciated. And yeah, great to be back in game week this week. We hope you guys enjoy this week leading up to the Broncos game, and we will see you guys next time.